Derek, I think it only appropriate to start off tonight's podcast with a thank you. There were so many people over the last week have reached out to us and said, hey guys, congratulations on a great season. What a great season it's been. We hope you guys enjoyed it. And to those people, the only thing I could say is thank you, but I don't know if it's needed.
Yeah, because we didn't play the games.
No.
So we didn't have a good season. We enjoyed the season.
If you came to our tailgates, Derek, you would have known we had a pretty damn good season.
That's a good point. But yeah, I think that's the exact way to start this podcast, is with tons of thank yous. Thank yous to all the new people who came out and said hello and have enjoyed a lot of Hurricanes hockey and helped make that building the fun that we have missed for so many years. Thank you to the sponsors who have made those tailgates a place where people want to come out. Thank you, you know, to the Papa Murphy's, the New Belgium's, the Johnny's Pizza, the Bond Brothers, the, I always say it wrong, BDD Brewing. Anybody who made those tailgates better, thank you. Thank you to the year-long sponsors that we've had, to Bottle Mix, to Don at Fathom Realty. It's been a good run, Mike.
Yeah. Thank you to Sports Channel 8, who have literally done nothing except you know, put our podcast out there. But we like Hayes, and we like Swain, and we
Goodson.
Like
Goodson. Oh no, good. Goodson's big on the hockey.
I could take him or leave him.
Oh no, Goodson's good.
Okay,
it's in his name, Mike.
But no, this is the, dare I say it, the wrap-up edition for a season, Derek, that I don't know if we knew that the wrap-up edition was going to be coming just a few days before Memorial Day weekend. Now, the Canes have been off for a couple of days, but at this point, it took our livers, our bodies, our minds a few days to recover. We thought about immediately doing a podcast, and then we're like, God, no, please, no. Save us from ourselves. And
need a day where nothing is scheduled, please.
So we took a few days, and congratulations to, you know, everybody else out there who quickly pumped out a podcast about this. You know, so many others have beat us to the punch. And tonight, you know, we just want to kind of, there are no guests tonight. This is just kind of Derek and I's opportunity to talk a little bit about the season, how we felt, what happened, to say our thanks to you, to talk a little bit about maybe what the next couple of months holds for this Carolina Hurricanes team before we see what this team's got next season. So, Derek, quick gut reaction.
Mm-hmm.
On a scale of one, actually, no, on a scale of Marchand to Svechnikov.
Okay.
What was your feeling on this season?
I mean, it's up there. It's very, very close to Svechnikov, if that's the scale that we're using. If I'm gonna go Jason Mendoza, I'd give this season an 8, because 8 is the best. It goes from 1 to 13, and then it, you know, just kind of falls back down. We have talked so many times in this podcast and outside of it that we were so happy to make the playoffs, and just getting there was what this team needed.
But it's also what we kind of we grew to expect in the second half of the season.
Absolutely. But getting to the Eastern Conference final or finals, when I don't know when the S gets dropped. Does it just get dropped at the Stanley Cup final?
Yes, because there are two conference finals, but
okay,
there are only
sense.
One Stanley Cup final.
Okay, there we go. There you go. Hey, look, the more you know.
Holy shit, did I just get a grammar thing right?
You did, except for the subject-verb agreement. You said,
shush.
You said there are only one final.
I hate you so much.
Literally. I was going to let it slide until you pointed out the fact that you got something right. And I was like, oh,
if you people out there, and yes, I said it, you people actually knew the amount of hatred that I have for this man who has stood across from me for so many seasons now. I'm currently holding back physical violence. Anyway, go ahead.
We're talking about the season, right? So we're one of the last four teams standing.
I hate you.
Thank you, Mike. That means more than you could ever imagine. We're one of the last four teams standing. That's a great season. There are 27 other teams who would have happily traded places with us. So I'm going to take it as a big win. Mike, do you disagree?
You know what? If I look at this season as a whole, I as a fan, I had more fun this season than I have had in 13 years as a Carolina Hurricanes fan. I have made more friends. I have been able to connect with people that I've never been able to connect with before. I feel like this was finally the year that people, Kane's Twitter did not eat itself. and the people who have been around for so long got to live the fruits of the hard labors that are supporting a team that's been bad for so long. Mm-hmm. And then combine that with the energy and the enthusiasm of all of the people who are fresh to Carolina Hurricanes fandom. And whether that be because of the storm surge, whether that be because of the young kids like Andrei Svechnikov and Sebastian Aho, and just everything that's happening around the team. It just was truly fulfilling. And I don't know if that's the again, we're talking about sports fandom, and Meg's done a lot of great things about this, and we've talked about how negative, you know, sports fandom can be, but I think I've seen over the last 2 months just how amazing it can be when a group of people come together both on and off the ice to support each other. And it's just been, in terms of that, I can't, again, short of raising Lord Stanley's chalice on June 19th of 2006, this has been my most fulfilling experience as a fan. In terms of the game on the ice, though, this might be the most exciting thing I've seen since 2002. And here's why. 2006 felt like, it felt like magic in a bottle. 2002 felt like we're building towards something. I feel like we're building towards something.
Oh, God. I hope we're not in store for 03 and 04. But I don't think we are. Mike, I'm going to do one bolder than you, if I may.
Please.
I enjoyed everything that went up to this run to get into the playoffs. And you and I talked about the fact that it wasn't just the playoffs that was every other night. It was every game since, heck, mid-February or so, where it was playoff mode for the players and for fans with our level of investment. With all of that, with the new people who are friends, who we consider family, I enjoyed what this spring brought to my experience as a Carolina Hurricanes fan more than 2006.
Well, that's because you skipped out the game because you're cheap.
That aside,
I couldn't let it slide.
That's fine.
After the grammar crack.
You're right. But the entire playoff run, I enjoyed this more than I enjoyed 06.
And it was, I think it's because of the people. And I know for
it's
folks,
the people, and it's coming on the end of almost 10 years without seeing this. Like, there was just so much emotional investment that you talked about. There was, you know, financial investment of years and years of tickets. And it's like, this is what we've been waiting for. We have so many people who we've been introduced to who either weren't interested in Canes hockey or didn't live in the area the last time the playoffs were a thing here. And we've told them for so many years, playoff hockey's different. But you got to trust me on this one, right? Like, I've been telling my wife since 2011, playoff hockey is a different beast. And she's like, yeah, that's cool. I get it. It's better. But game three at home against the Capitals, she's like, this is incredible. I get it now. To see that from her, to see that from folks like Oliver, from Tom, from Meg, from people who are a part of the 328 family, that has meant so much to me. It's been a fantastic season.
Yeah.
Or was, damn it, I have to put it in,
yeah,
in past
still,
tense now.
Still is. This season will live on forever. because Don Cherry, fuck that guy. Hey, I made it through. What did I make it through? Like 8 minutes of the podcast before I dropped one of those. I'm going to start dropping them more on the regular. I like it.
We're going to change that iTunes rating.
No, we're not. Ah. We'll be fine.
All right.
Steve Jobs is dead.
what? You should have told me to sit down first, Mike.
So, basically tonight we're going to talk through some season highlights. We're going to talk through a little bit of the Boston series. We're going to talk about friends. We're going to talk about our feelings. This is very much going to be a feelings intensive podcast. I think this might be I don't want to call it cathartic, but this is kind of that final outpouring of emotion from what has been, you know, Derek said, I'm tired, Mike. I don't want to do a podcast tonight because it's been like 6 weeks of just every other night having to give a shit. And I'm like, Derek, we've been having to give a shit since January because for the first time in forever.
And I had not thought about that aspect of it until, you know, 38 minutes ago.
For the first time in forever, this team made us give a shit. And tonight, we raise a glass to this team, the 2019 Carolina Hurricanes team. I don't know what happened in 2018, but 2019 was awesome. Derek?
Yeah?
Hit that damn X button.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this, the final season-ending edition of Cheaters Never Win. The latest we've ever been able to do this, Derek. My name's Mike.
Hey, I'm Derek.
We're still a proud member of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network. Brought to you by Bottle Mix, brought to you by Don at Fathom Realty, your at Kaniac underscore Realtor.
Respect the underscore.
And we are here tonight. We're going to talk. We're not going to talk a lot of stick and puck, you know, X's and O's, because, you know, that's what we always do. God, we're awful at that.
We're bad.
We're just going to talk about the season. We're going to talk about how we felt. This is this might be called the lying on the couch and just getting it off your chest edition of Cheaters Never Win, Derek.
I'm so glad you finished that sentence differently. Wow. than I anticipated. I was afraid you were called the just getting it off edition, and I was gonna be worried.
I mean, still early in the podcast. I mean, wouldn't be the first time I'd done the podcast with my pants off.
That's sadly true.
That's why we don't have a Twitch anymore. Maybe we'll do that next year. Who knows?
Let's keep
it moving. You know, Twitter vote, for those who are listening, should Mike do the podcast with pants off more often? Retweet if you like, or like if you retweet.
Huh?
Exactly.
Some people say cucumbers taste better pickled.
I actually saw that on your Instagram today. Why do I follow you on Instagram?
Because pickles are delicious snacks.
Yes, they are.
But you voted that they're not.
Not that pickle. You had already bitten it. I don't want a pickle you've already eaten. I don't want a pickle that you haven't eaten. You had eaten like half of it, and then you took a picture.
I didn't ask if it was a good snack for you. I just meant in general.
Well, like you had eaten. It's kind of like going in on December 29th where the Carolina Hurricanes lost, I think, 5-1 to the New Jersey Devils. You're like, hey, was this a good season for the Carolina Hurricanes? At that point, F no. It was awful. But ever since then, Derek, a lot of people don't know this. On December 29th, I actually watched the game on my phone while lying face down on a tattoo table. And I got the Section 328 Hurricanes Mega Man emblazoned.
It's not a Mega Man, Mike. It's a...
No, Mega as in M-E-G-E. Mega Man.
Miege Man,
exactly. He's making hockey great again.
Now I hate it. Mike, I gotta burn a lot of merch right now.
I know we're gonna have to do a rebrand here.
Oh, you're gonna have to get that tattoo fixed up. Maybe JC knows somebody.
Probably. But ever since that day, I'm not taking full credit.
Just an undue share of it.
Just an absolute undue share of it. That was the Canes turnaround after that horrible, horrible loss. I endured 4.5 hours of pain. Three of it was the Canes game.
I was asked, which hurt more?
Both.
Good answer.
Yeah.
By the way, which hurts more was also a great bit on Conan. Probably 15 years ago. It was like a TV channel they found in Russia where, I mean, obviously a bit, but somebody would just break into somebody's room in the middle of the night and throw two objects at them and ask them to say which one hurt more.
I see a bit coming for next season. welcome tonight's special guest, Canalytics. He walks in, bam! Which hurts more, Oliver? Anyway, Derek, I know this is going to be hard to pinpoint.
Yes.
Give me a season highlight.
Oh, jeez, I needed a prep for this. Why don't we do show prep?
Because show prep is crazy. That's what guys like Jeff Merrick do.
Season highlight. If there's a moment, no moment will top in the regular season when we clinched against New Jersey. All of that was pure magic. If you want a like more like a play from the season, Warren Fogle's goal was just ridiculous. I mean, it was one of the NHL's top goals of the year. That was a huge highlight for me. There's a lot of ways I could define a highlight. I don't know. Did you have something? Like, were you thinking moment? Were you thinking plays?
No, this is yours. I can
make it whatever I want.
Yes, you can.
The podcast is my oyster, if I will.
It is origami, sir. You take it and fold it into whatever shape you wish.
Oh, I appreciate that, Mike.
No problem, man.
Yeah, I think the other thing, that was just a highlight of the year, and we tweeted and improperly credited Joe Ovius. Joe Ovius had nothing to do with that story. I can't say that enough. All thanks to Lauren Brownlow, who was fantastic. The Canes social media team, the way they connected with fans and got more buy-in from people, I know that's not really a moment, but that was a highlight. It was a change. It was new. It was different. It gave the appearance that they truly cared, and that was wonderful. There was so much I love about this season. There was so little that I didn't. After December 29th, thanks to your tattoo, I could have a lot longer list of positives than I could negatives. What about you?
That's the great thing about a season that ended like it did, right? Because you basically get to black out most of December. Because mm-hmm. December was hard. I mean, you think, and I think it hardened this team a little bit. It fortified this team. You know, Derek, if I'm going for season highlight, and I'm gonna go single individual play.
Okay.
I'm going the Peter Mrazek poke check.
Oh God!
In overtime in Florida, I think that might have been the game changer, because that was, you know, Justin Williams said it on the bench. He goes, "Boys, the game's ours now."
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was the beginning of that final run to be able to drive towards the playoff clinch. Now, if I'm saying what was the actual, you know, non-play kind of season highlight, it's the moment the Carolina Hurricanes, we all knew on April 4th that we had just clinched the playoffs. That final goal with whatever it was, minute and a half left, that was,
time was a blur at that point.
That just allowed us all to look at each other and to be able to release 10 years of emotions. Jillian Fisher captured it quite well and shared it with the entire world of our blubbering asses, just excited for what. So my highlight of the season is the embrace with my wife and you and Jack Spencer, and I would have never thought that, as much as I hate your every being and fiber of my body. But the ability to share that moment of just pure exaltation of just emotion with people that I have not been able to experience that with in so long, that have become such a part of the fabric of what I do every day of living and breathing, was great. We'd be remiss if we didn't kind of throw the storm surge in here a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember, I mean, the Canes kind of became famous for the big ones, right? The Brock McGinn at center ice with the Avengers Thor hammer, and, you know, Evander Holyfield and Trevor Van Riemsdyk dunking, and Svechnikov, you know, kind of bowling into the thing. But I remember the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back to October, where you see them all line up on the blue line, and you're like, oh, they're celebrating and they're excluding us. That's kind of cool. And then all of a sudden you see Justin Williams start to skate and says,
like, come on, boys.
Hey, boys, come on. And they jump up. And at that very moment, I know it's October and we went through a really bad time there at the latter half of 2018. But it felt like there was something special about this team in that moment. And those of us who were fortunate enough to be in the building that night got a chance to feel it. And we got, and it built. It built game mm-hmm. after game after game. The first couple was, you know, grab a blue line and skate and jump across the boards, and then, you know, skate halfway and then go the other way and jump to the other boards. And, you know, and then all of a sudden it became a little bit more interesting. And it helped. It was a combination of that, and God bless that old coot up in Toronto Don Cherry, and even maybe more importantly, sending thanks, like you said, to the Canes social media team, and the likes of folks like Mike Forman, who were in place and had a plan to immediately capture upon the zeitgeist that became the Bunch of Jerks. And within hours, we went from being the Bunch of Jerks to having an identity. We mattered. People had a feeling about us. You either loved us or you hated us, but we were no longer an afterthought. We were no longer the
Coyotes.
We were no longer the Oxford comma where you could take us or you could leave us.
Oh, sir, I have strong opinions about the Oxford comma.
Shocking. Please tell the people your feelings about the Oxford comma, because that's going to keep everybody listening for the rest of the podcast.
I will give you one sentence. We invited the strippers, JFK, and Stalin.
Okay. What happened?
Well, if the Oxford comma is there, you know those are three different things. If the Oxford comma is not there, one could read that as JFK and Stalin were the hired entertainment for the night. The Oxford comma makes a difference.
I agree with you.
Thank you. We're old. The youths are not so much pro Oxford comma, but back to the season. The other thing that we have not talked about.
No one's listening anymore.
They're listening. Hey, tweet us about your thoughts on the Oxford comma. Let us know, please, at drwrestle, at mflanagan00, or at @section_328.
Respect the underscore.
Let us know your thoughts on the Oxford comma to prove that you were listening to this podcast. Another season highlight, trading Victor Rask for Nino Niederreiter.
Nino.
So, Mike, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How many players from each team were involved in that trade?
Derek, the trade was one for one.
That trade not only got rid of Victor Rask, and I am not doing this to pile on Victor Rask. I hope he has tremendous success in the rest of his career. Probably there. But he was not performing well here, albeit coming back from an injury, slicing sweet potatoes. But we traded him for a player who was making more money. You know, that kind of went against the Dundon is cheap thing. It's like, no, you go pay money for good players. And we got a player who returned a lot more points than Victor Rask, was able to contribute in the top six the way Victor Rask had not contributed in a long time. That made such a difference down the stretch. So that trade, both at the time and in retrospect, was like, wait. This trade was one for one? That doesn't make sense. And it makes sense why Paul Fenton is not exactly eager to pick up the phone if it has a 919 area code in it.
Well, again, we've heard stories of how that went down, where, you know, Don Waddell may have asked others in the organization, you know, how do you feel about that trade? And people responded, why the F are you still talking to me? Get on the phone and call Paul.
Mm-hmm. That was Tom Dundon, right, who told us that?
I can neither confirm nor deny that the honorable Tom Dundon. You bring up the name Tom Dundon, Derek. Let's talk about Tommy D at TD Canes. Feel free to come on the podcast. We'd love to have you. I'm going to get Tom Dundon on the podcast this summer, by the way.
Okay. Yes.
If you go back to all of the things that were said at the beginning of the summer, when he had hired Don Waddell, fired Ron Francis, basically we were told struck out with every person he wanted to hire, and hired the two guys inside the organization, and we were called, you know, a gong show, we were called laughable. Jeff O'Neill, I believe, said he was embarrassed to be an alumni of this organization,
and then put a spoon into a bowl filled with cheese sauce.
Yeah. And you look at where we are now, where the 200 hockey men now look at the Carolina Hurricanes and say, wow, not only has the team captured the hearts and minds of the local fans, potentially have grown their fan base internationally with what they've done with the Bunch of Jerks and the t-shirts and all of that, but they've also... they're also set up for success in the future. So, Derek, if I were to ask you to give a grade of, let's take the players away from this, right? Let's go to the folks behind the scenes. Let's go to Don Waddell. Let's go to Tom Dundon. let's go to Rod Brind'Amour. Give me a grade for each one of those guys on a scale of Lars Eller to Sebastian Aho.
Brind'Amour is getting the grade of Aho. I tweeted about it when they shared that it was the 1 year anniversary of hiring Brind'Amour, that I was very proudly on WREL that day saying, I don't know about this one. He might work out well. He may not. And I didn't like the optics of, like you said, just hiring someone who was here. It felt like it was the convenient hire more than it was the right hire. And Mike, even more than I don't like to admit that I am wrong, I don't like to admit that Adam Gold was right. And he was, because we were in the eye that day talking about it, and he's going, Derek, Brind'Amour is, he's the man for this. And I'm like, okay, cool, Adam. But he was right about that. He was right about the Victor Rask contract. Like, so I will give Adam Gold credit because he deserves it for being right on those two things. The Don Waddell one, I think he did good work on that trade. But this season, it's been largely quiet. I mean, we can go back and include the draft day deal that, you know, the Hamilton and Furland for Lindholm and Hanifin, and we got Fox, and then we obviously traded Fox because he wasn't going to sign here. So Waddell hasn't done a lot, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. So I'll give Waddell a... I'm trying to think of what player to give as a grade. I'll give him the Trevor Van Riemsdyk as a grade on that one. It's been solid. I wouldn't say that he's brought a ton to the table, and I think part of that might be because I think Ron Francis did a lot to stock the pipeline to put us in a position where we are today. I also think that with a GM by committee, it's hard to assign ultimate credit for any one of these moves. But Don Waddell, I think, didn't take anything away from the table either.
Okay, so Derek, I think you missed the biggest piece of what Don Waddell did this year.
I thought about it right after I finished talking, and are you going to say it was sending a giant ginger down to Charlotte?
I was going to say it was claiming Curtis McElhinney and running the potential of having three starting goaltenders on your roster, or three NHL caliber goaltenders on your roster.
Who's the third?
Let's not do this.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
I know. So, I mean, if you look back to, like you said, the trade in the summer, the Dougie Hamilton, Michael Ferland trade, Michael Ferland paid dividends, I think, for 85% of the season. I think he was playing injured the latter half of the season, and obviously he was injured during the playoffs, but I think he brought a level of grittiness to some of the guys on this team, and some leadership on this team that really kind of rubbed off on some people.
Mm-hmm.
Dougie Hamilton, yes, he had some bad games, particularly in the Boston series. Dougie Hamilton was one of the best additions we've had in quite some time to this team.
And got reading that report that a puck hit his right hand in early November and broke the tip of his pinky in two places. Ow.
Yeah. Yeah. He had been playing on and off with a broken finger for quite some time. And you know, the Adam Fox deal looks like it's going to pay at least partial dividends.
Yeah.
The claiming of Curtis McElhinney, the Victor Rask for Nino Niederreiter trade, and the subsequent honor of being nominated as the general manager of the year, I think is great for Don Waddell. You're right. Ron Francis had absolutely stocked the pipeline, where we had guys that Don and Eric and the entire GM Voltron could call up. Right.
I mean, let's mention Rick Dudley, lest he come here and bench press us.
Rick Dudley, when you listen to this podcast, please feel free to come by the Section 328 Worldwide headquarters. Everybody in the front office knows where we are, and bench press us. That'd be fine. So I look at what Don Waddell did, and then I look at what Rod Brind'Amour did. Like you said, you give him the top grade. I judge Rod Brind'Amour, and this may sound odd. I don't think if you were asking me, say, Mike, give a grade to Rod Brind'Amour, I would give him an incomplete. And here's why.
Yeah, I'm going to need some more information on that one.
Because I don't think you can grade Rod Brind'Amour without grading what he did by installing Justin Williams as captain of this team.
Okay, well then include that and make that part of the grade.
Good point. Good point. But I think...
problem solved. Meeting adjourned. Doubletree.
I think if you look at... Again, you look at the coach, right? There are tactics and there is line juggling and all of that. But Rod Brind'Amour did a lot of deferring of that, you know? The goaltending coach got to call who was goaltending that night for the most part. He deferred to Jeff Daniels and Dean Chenault.
So would you say Mike bailed him out?
Stop it. But it was the combined presence of Rod Brind'Amour and Justin Williams coming together to lead this team that was basically two generational captains that were delivering leadership to this team to allow them to do what they wanted to do, how they needed to do it. He had such a pulse on who to push when. He had such a pulse on who to support when. And he had such a pulse on when and how to be able to say, guys, look, okay, tough game. Go hit the bikes and the weights for an hour with strength and conditioning coach. Or, hey, guys, pack up, night off. He had that just inherent touch. But when somebody, you know, when he needed to get something to the team, he had such a good relationship with Justin Williams, and Justin Williams was able to deliver it in his own way, his very dry, sarcastic, whether it be through the media or not, way to this team. I just could not have – there was not a better match made than what Justin Williams and Rod Brind'Amour brought to this franchise this year. So, Derek,
yes.
Here's the next question I ask you.
All right.
Is Rod Brind'Amour as good of a coach next season if Justin Williams decides that this was his last season and he decides to hang him up?
Oh, man, you beat me to that question too, you bastard. I think – listening to Rod Brind'Amour in the press conference on Tuesday, which I only got to hear every other word, and let me, for all the Canes staff who are listening to this, can part of your AV upgrade this offseason be to make the media room audible to the public? That'd be great. I think that Brind'Amour learned a lot this season. I mean, as a first-year head coach, to be one of the last four coaches left chewing gum like a maniac, I think he learned a lot, like you said, about when to push the guy, when to give him a kick in the ass versus when to give him a pat on the back and say, hey, you know what, let's wait till tomorrow and we'll deal with it then. He learned so much that I think he's going to be at least as good of a coach next year. That doesn't mean the results are going to be better because there are so many teams who are so competitive, but I don't see him regressing as a head coach. I think one of the biggest things that this team needs to figure out in this offseason is how to have a power play that doesn't just suck all season. We can talk about that as it gets closer to next season. But Mike, since you brought up if Justin Williams isn't back, that's the question I wanted to ask you. Right now, you have to put $20 on it. Is Justin Williams back next season?
Absolutely. 100%. No questions
asked.
Okay,
you have to put $20,000 on it.
Absolutely, positively, no questions asked.
Wow, no reservations.
Justin Williams is coming back.
Okay.
Justin Williams is coming back, and he signed a one-year deal. He's going to sign a one-year deal.
Is he going to do it like Char into signing for like $2
million? It's three. You know, the guy again, the guy deserves it. I mean,
he's got to feed his family.
He put up more than 20 points this season.
No, 20 goals.
Hey. Yeah, 20 goals and what, 40 plus points?
I
right at 40 points?
No, I think he had more points than that. Now, hold on. Again, show prep.
But yeah, I mean, you give Justin Williams $3.5 million if he wants it. This team is not up against the cap.
Yep.
So you give him that, and you let him do that. You sign him to, you know, as many 1 year deals as he would like to have. And
so Justin Williams had more points this season than he has had since the 2011-2012 season with the Los Angeles Kings.
Well, that's because he had the life sucked out of him by that worthless, useless trope of losers in Washington who just happened to win the Stanley Cup last year, but still.
Yeah. But yeah, he had 53 points this year, 23 goals, 30 helpers.
Yeah. I mean, so if we could get even 18 goals and 20 helpers out of Justin Williams next year, I'd be perfectly happy if we paid him $3 million and he's playing third and fourth line minutes and getting some power play, some PP2 time.
Yeah, I wonder about it because when I watched the end of game four against Boston and I saw him go over and shake the linesman's hands and shake the referee's hands, I haven't watched Justin Williams close out every other season. Don't know if that's just what he does. But that coupled with his emotion and his kids and sitting in the stall with his pads on and beads around his neck that his kids gave him to cheer him up after game four, it makes me wonder if he's seriously considering if he can invest all the energy and emotion, both physically and mentally, into this next season like he did this year. He's got a lot going for him. Like, he still obviously can play and can play at a high NHL level, but he's also going to be 38. He's made tens of millions of dollars in his career, and he's in good health. There's a lot to be said for that. Does he want to step away from the game and spend time as a family man? Does he want to get into coaching? Does he want to go to the front office thing? Does he want to keep playing? I think there are a lot of options out there. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it's a one-year deal, but I'm also not going to be shocked if he says, you know what, guys, it's been great.
What, you know, Derek?
But I think I'd lean towards a one-year deal.
Again, I agree completely on the one-year deal. Here's my take. You know, Justin Williams doesn't have 3 months to figure this out, though, because the Carolina Hurricanes have decisions that they're going to have to make at the National Hockey League entry draft. They have decisions that they're going to have to make in free agency, and Justin Williams' decision is going to impact that. I mean, for all intents and purposes, Justin Williams has the better part of 20, let's call it maybe 23, 24 days from now to decide whether he is going to be the captain and a member of this Carolina Hurricanes team next season. And that's not a ton of time to heal up your wounds, to recoup. Hell, it's been, what, 7, 8, 9 days since the last Carolina Hurricanes game, and we're now just recovering our voices and our ability to actually talk hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's been playing it now, you know, at the highest level for, you know, and just day in and day out, and much respect to the entire team. But I think Justin Williams is going to be back. I think the team's going to have to know it soon because the team has decisions that they're going to have to make before they head to Vancouver, Derek, for the National Hockey League entry draft. That's why I'm the host, because I do segues. That was a good segue.
I don't think that's how that's pronounced, but I'll have to check and get back to you.
S-E-G-U-E apostrophe S, I think.
Yeah, there's an umlaut in there, I think, too.
Probably.
It's a very metal word.
Right. So as we do segue, talk to me a little bit.
That doesn't sound right.
No, that's a hoverboard. So as we hoverboard to the next topic.
No, segue is not a hoverboard.
Jesus, you always have to be right. Derek's need.
No, it's not my need to be right. It's your insistence on being wrong.
Derek's need to be right is just insufferable. If you agree with me, please write at D Russell is insufferable with nothing else.
Also, there's a space between D Russell and is insufferable. I just want to point that out, Mike.
Yes. Jesus, I hate you so much.
Aw, thanks.
So, Derek,
at least we had that hug, Mike.
We did that one time. It was beautiful. The Carolina Hurricanes have 3 picks in the top 37, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
For a team that just went to the Eastern Conference Finals, that seems like something to be very good, particularly for a team that has their entire top 6 defensive core coming back, which has been lauded as one of the best top 6 defensive cores in the league. And assuming the restricted free agent sign, one of the better top 6s in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, Derek,
yes,
what happens in Vancouver?
We make one of those picks. I think that one of two things happens. I think we either, there could be one or maybe two trades, but I could see us packaging that first round pick, which is, I think it's locked in at 28, right? Do you know?
Yes.
Okay, so 28, and it doesn't really matter too much between 36 and 37, but I think we pair both of those up with a bottom pairing defenseman, maybe a Trevor Van Riemsdyk because of the deal that he's on, not anything against Van Riemsdyk, because I think he played really well this season until his injury against the Islanders. But I think we pair someone like him, maybe with those two picks, and go get another top six forward. I just don't see us making more than one of those picks, because we don't need to get three more players who are 3 years away. We need to get another guy on this team who can play in the 2019-2020 season. We're already going to have younger guys. Natchez is going to be here next year.
Most likely.
Gauthier is, I would say, 60-40 to be here next season. That's adding two more forwards to probably not higher than a third line-ish to start. But if we can beef up that top six a little bit more, I think you need to look at every opportunity to use those picks as pieces in that kind of trade. And surely there are some teams out there who could use those pieces, who know that we're still a couple years away. Let's load up our AHL with three top 40 picks.
So I agree, Derek. I agree that I will go on record and say I do not believe the Carolina Hurricanes will make a first-round selection this year. I do not believe that will happen. And myself and Mr. Workrate and Pat Clark are all going to be making our way to Vancouver for the National Hockey League entry draft.
Hey, quick word. Can you guys do something special for me? I don't want to put you guys out or anything.
We're not going to a place that just serves bacon.
No. Well, Brain did serve more than bacon, but could you drink a beer for me while you're there?
No.
Aw.
We're going to have all of the beers. We're not going to have one beer. We're going to have all of them. So we're going to be in Vancouver. I do not believe the Canes will make that first-round selection. I believe here's what's going to happen. I believe if there's somebody that the Canes are absolutely infatuated with in the early teens, the Canes may take those three picks and trade up to get a better pick.
Does it take all three, though?
Absolutely.
Really? You think so?
I think so, yeah. I think here's the bigger thing, and we talked a little bit about this in our show prep. I believe there is a restricted free agent out there on a team that could be traded to the Carolina Hurricanes, that, you know, the Canes could use those second-round picks for a team that might need
Mikko Rantanen!
Close.
Mitch Marner!
No.
Patrick Laine!
Oh, Jesus, if Patrick Laine were on this team. Can you imagine first line Patrick? Can you imagine Aho, Laine, Toivo? Oh, God. Oh, God, stop me. So much thin beard. I think the Carolina Hurricanes, if I'm Don Waddell, I am picking up the phone and I am calling David Poole. I'm sorry, GM. I'm calling.
Well, not anymore.
Oh, that's right.
It's not Gum out there.
I'm calling up the
whoever the hell it is running the show now.
I'm calling up the Knights. And I'm saying, hey, look, you know, you've got a lot of money invested in a lot of players. How about you trade us? How about you go ahead and trade us the restricted free agent of William Karlsson?
Ooh.
And then you know, you've got your first line of Aho, Toivo, and Nino. You've got your second line of Derek, go and take your pants off now.
I'm gonna wait.
Karlsson, Svechnikov, Natchez.
Natchez on the second line wing already?
Yes.
Like, that seems okay.
Yes, absolutely.
But you said you didn't even say that he's confirmed to be here when I was talking about guys who are going to be on the roster next year. Now you're putting him on the second line?
Natchez is absolutely here. You don't put a guy like Natchez on the third line. That's what Warren Fogle's for. That's what Brock McGinnis is for. That's what Jordan. So, Derek, I mean, think about this. You are the Toronto Maple Leafs, and you're rolling in here.
Oh, God, I've been miserable for 52 years.
Exactly, and you're rolling in here with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and William Nylander, and you've got this big-ass first line, and you're going to score, and you're going to skate, and the Canes go, oh, no, and you roll out. Every time they put those guys on the ice, you roll out Brock McGinn, Warren Fogle, and Jordan Staal. And all those guys say are just four-letter words the entire time, because it's just like ouch, ouch, F, ouch, F, ouf, ouf, F, S. You know, it's just all of the four-letter words, because we're just, all of your pucks are to belong to us. And that's that. And Rod Brendamore would just be like, yeah, baby. Because then you can let, oh, by the way, Brock McGinn or Warren Fogle's having a downtime. Oh, yeah, let's just roll Justin Williams out there then. And so many options with something like that. You know, and then you've got William Karlsson. You don't have to bring Nachos in and have him immediate play that center, which I know he enjoys playing. I think that just makes sense. I mean, yes, there's so many things that could happen this offseason. That's the one that I don't hate.
Yeah, because he put up, I think we looked, it was like somewhere between 50 and 60 points. I think it was like 25 goals, 32 assists or something like that.
Yeah, high 50s on the points after a 40-goal season two seasons ago. But I mean, but he's young. He's a 6'1" center that could play with the likes of that. And Derek, as we mentioned, number 37, our Lord and Savior Andrei Svechnikov. he was the best player on the ice during the latter half of the Boston series. What that young man is going to do and grow in the next couple of seasons is going to be phenomenal. You know, so the ability to have two scoring lines with just pungent scoring threats, you know, you take, again, this league's all about pairs. You take Aho Turbo, you take Karlsson Svechnikov. I don't care where you put Nachos. Those four guys put the fear of hog in everyone. By the way, I'm just coining that term, fear of hog.
Trademark? Is that how it works? If we just say trademark, it's trademarked?
It's trademarked.
Okay. Now, I like it. I think what's going to happen is we're going to get somebody completely unexpected. I don't think anyone outside of the front office of the Canes saw that Rask for Nino trade happening. I think with, like you said, Tulsky earlier, the other smart people, the fact that we have so many scouts and people working in the front office finally, we're going to make a splash this offseason. I truly believe that. We'll get to things later this offseason of like Aho's contract and spoiler alert, he going to get paid.
Yes. Sebastian Aho is going to get $9.5 million for 8 seasons. Write it.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yep. Perfectly fine with it. Derek, no guest tonight, but I did want to say thank you to Dawn from Fathom Realty, who has sponsored the Caniac Realtor guest line all season. She has been phenomenal at Caniac _Realtor.
Respect the underscore.
We just came to this tonight. We just kind of wanted to ramble. We wanted to have a good time. We wanted to talk with you guys. But it wouldn't be a Carolina Hurricanes Cheaters Never Win podcast if we didn't give you a beer review.
Derek, damn right.
Tell the folks what you're drinking tonight.
So tonight I have something from Heist Brewing. They are in beautiful, I think it's pronounced Charlotte.
Charlotte,
yes. North Carolina. This is an IPA called Blurred Is the Word. I unfortunately have already recycled the can of beer, and their website doesn't say what hops are in it, but it is a hazy IPA. I want to say it had Mosaic and Azaka hops. If those are wrong, please forward it to the 328 corrections department.
At @section_328help.
Yes. And we will maybe issue a formal apology. This beer pours a really nice hazy color. It smells just so citrusy and a little bit of like crushed pineapple and those type of fruits that are really good on warm days like today when it's supposed to be blazing ass hot like this weekend. This is a really tasty and refreshing beer. And I always love supporting North Carolina beer. Heist is doing a lot of really cool stuff. A lot of New England IPAs and some other interesting types of beers. So go to Bottle Mix. Go see them. They're on Creedmoor Road, south of 540, a little bit further north from Crabtree Valley Mall, behind Briggs and those other establishments that don't sell canned beer like that. And go in and say hi. They're open all weekend long. They're open on Memorial Day, too. If you need some for your pool party or cookout, they're there. Here's a really cool event. Next Thursday, I believe that is the 30th, one of the beers that is like those white whales that's out there of these are beers that are really hard to get. They're only out once a year. And when you see them, you want to get them. One of those beers is Westbrook's Mexican Cake. They're going to have it on tap next Thursday. So you want to show up between 5 and 7:45. And let's be honest, you want to be there by 5 to get a glass of Mexican Cake. It's their Imperial Stout with cocoa, cinnamon, vanilla, and habanero peppers. So it's got some on the back end of it. Great beer. Go see Bottle Mix. Say hi to Bruce. Say hi to Ellen. Say hi to all the folks there. And tell them Section 328 sent you.
Yeah, I mean, Memorial Day this weekend, lots of pool parties, lots of time at the beach. Make sure you go by, see those guys, get you a beverage to enjoy this weekend. I know I will be enjoying a couple of beverages with good friends this weekend, probably talking a little hockey, talking a little bit about what the summer's going to bring. And the next time you hear from us, the podcast is going to get a little bit more infrequent potentially over the next couple of weeks. But the Section 328 crew, as we've said, you guys do a great job of supporting us. So we are sending in a crew three deep to all the way to the Pacific Northwest, going to Vancouver to cover the National Hockey League entry draft. Myself, Mr. Workrate, and Pat Clark will all be up there doing everything we can to bring you the ins and outs of everything that's going on in Vancouver, trying to get some conversations with the latest Canes to join the franchise, and just having a lot of fun. We'll probably have a couple of podcasts between now and then talking about draft prep. I'm sure we'll have Mark Seidel on, as we do every year, to talk a little bit about who we're going to take in this year's draft.
And thankfully, it's not a lottery pick.
Exactly. We're going to be...
I don't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, asshole.
I wanted to say, while I'm not going to Vancouver, I hope you guys have the best of times when you're there. And a large part of the reason that you guys are going and we've been able to cover the drafts in Dallas, Chicago, Florida, and Philly is because of the support you guys show us, particularly through Patreon. So if you want to check it out, patreon.com/section328, or just go to section328.com. Smash that Patreon button, and you can help support us, get out to the draft. And it's not just a vacation. We are there, like, making connections, meeting people who come onto this podcast so it can be a more enjoyable show for you. It also gives us more delicious Twitter content, and there are rewards, like some sweet, sweet merch involved at some of those Patreon levels.
Yeah. And, new merch coming throughout the season. Thank you to Jordan Martinook's dad, who bought a Marty Party shirt, which was kind of fun. He came by one of the tailgates and said hi and thought that was really cool. We'd be remiss if we didn't say thank you to everybody in the Carolina Hurricanes organization who has been supportive of us and supportive of this podcast all throughout time. Mike Maniscalco, John Forsland, Mike Sundheim, Mike Foreman.
A lot of mics.
Yeah, lots of mics over there.
Not a lot of parental creativity.
Pace Sagister, who is great at hockey, but I'm pretty sure a horrible human because he, worked for the Capitals and went to Carolina.
Yeah. He runs really quickly, though.
Yes, so fast. Just everybody inside that organization.
Would you say he keeps a good pace?
Stop it. everybody who's in the arena who's been supportive, I want to say a personal thank you to Greg Perna, who has been my season ticket rep now for years and years, who has always been helpful for throughout time. Sarah Daniel, who does a great job of running the entire ticketing organization and delivering more things like season ticket member paint the ice and Christmas cards on the ice and all sorts of things. Too many things, and we'll continue to say thank you.
I want to play some orchestra music.
I know. Here's what I'm saying, y'all. Thank you, guys. It has been an amazing season. Thank you for giving us a reason to get together as buddies every week or so to talk into these mics. I've been fortunate enough to be across from this asshole for the better part of seven seasons now. And as much as I'd like to replace him, I can't think of a better guy I'd like to do this podcast with. So, Derek, to you and yours, and to everybody out there, thank you guys for listening. This has been the seventh season of Cheaters Never Win. Until next time, when we start talking officially about the National Hockey League entry draft and what the hell the Canes are going to do to win the cup next year. My name's Mike.
I'm Derek.
We're out of here.
Pew!